from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
There's a meltdown happening right now, City Limits. I'm out with Joe.
What's wrong? I had a whole open planned and everything. Joe had me get ready.
He can't find cleaning agents or something?
Well, why didn't you play it? That was half the idea.
Something.
You got it? Play it. You got him? Smoke him.
There's something going on here with Joe. I'm not sure what it is.
Are you going to play the opening, or am I just going to talk? I'm good either way here, Limits. You just, there we go.
Five men deep, including Brian Finneran. Maddox lets it fly all the way downfield, and it was caught. It's caught on the one. There's no time. The game's over.
Oh, my God.
Plexico Burris caught it.
To Burris.
His body was in the end zone, Sam. The ball wasn't.
Oh, this is unbelievable. Outside the end zone. Mendenhall.
There we go.
Mendenhall. First down inside the 30. Mendenhall keeps his footing and scores to win the game.
I love the crowd reaction there. Paul.
What are we going over?
That was 15-9, a very unusual score for a football game. That was Rashard Mendenhall in overtime with a 50-yard touchdown. He ran right past Kabali, apparently, or so Kabali claims. And that actually happened in the Steelers-Falcons rivalry. They've played 18 times. Would either one of you like to guess this, what the Steelers' record is in those games, 18 times? Paul, you go first.
I don't know. 12-6.
Limits?
I'm going to say...
Wrong.
11-5-1.
15-2-1. And even though it's obviously an abbreviated history, they don't play that often. We've had some moments, Paul.
Yes.
You just heard Plexico Burris. You were probably at that game. 37-37, I believe, was the final. Michael Vick was unbelievable that day. Joey Porter was incredible that day. And then you had Plex with the last play of the game, a Hail Mary, where he lands at the one-yard line. You had Hines Ward run out of his shoes in Atlanta one day. Do you remember that? When Hines caught a ball. I mean, it might have been
yes.
from Charlie Batch.
That's right.
And he was running in his socks.
That's right.
And for a guy they said didn't have much speed, it didn't seem like Hines, when he was of a mind, got caught all that much when he was in those situations, even in his bare feet. And then, legendarily, a couple of years ago, when Arthur Smith was coaching the Falcons, you had Tomlin snap on that guy.
Yeah.
Time. You remember that?
Yes. Well, what did he snap on? I forget what he snapped on, though.
Some guy got in his face.
Oh, yes,
apparently
yes.
a Steeler fan.
I'm working. He says, I'm working, bro, or whatever
yeah,
he says.
With an expletive.
Yes.
I'm working. I thought it was great. Ron said Tomlin shouldn't have done it. My feeling was, Ron, if you were writing a column after a game, under that kind of pressure, doing your pacing. Remember when Ron used to pace for his columns? And some fan came running up to you, even if they were well-intentioned, you can understand how you would be heightened at that moment and not be in the mood for it.
I would have loved to have seen that, actually, with Ron.
Oh, me too.
When he was in his pace mode, when he was pacing around the way he used to,
me
to do
too.
That.
And Tomlin's, he was working. And there might be 1 second. You don't have much time at halftime. There might be one little piece of tape, one little adjustment, one little thing. I think he was talking to one of his assistants that could change the course of a game.
Right.
And then you have some guy, Hey, Mike, good luck in the second half. I can understand why he did that. I was on Tomlin's side there. Were you?
I didn't really have a
problem.
And
I thought it was funny.
Plus, I kind of know, the one thing I kind of know is that Tomlin, whenever the game's going on, he's always in steel face, you know, no, nothing else matters mode. So, yeah.
Which coach or GM do you know of that you ran across who had that game day face? Jamie.
Yeah. Oh, Jamie was.
Like, I knew Jamie. We all knew Jamie very well. I saw him once, maybe an hour before the game, right outside the media room. And he walked past me like I was a ghost.
Yeah.
He just had eyes for the game.
Yeah. Always. And then if they lost, I mean, he was in a zone. People need like 15-minute cooling periods. That guy needed like a 5-hour cooling period.
I know. It was great.
He was the worst.
Jim Rutherford had it too, big time on game days.
Yes. But my thing is, with respect to Jamie.
Yeah.
He was the worst. When they lost, he was the worst post game. I mean, there were times when he would just be like staring into space and incoherent somewhat, just.
Yeah.
Because he's so rattled that they lost the game.
On the other side of things, who was Agnes Baronato? Was that her name?
Yeah.
She, before the game, invited me into one of the women's basketball huddles, Paul.
Right.
I'm not talking like game day shoot around.
Yeah.
I'm talking right before they took the court. She's like, hey, come over here.
Yeah.
And I'm in there with all the women on the team for their pregame cheer before they run out onto the court. It was unbelievable.
Right.
I liked her. Did you?
Very much so. Very much so. I still talk to her and stuff. She's good.
So we have a football game, Paul. We have a real, live, honest-to-goodness NFL game. Steelers-Falcons. It's a fascinating matchup, if you ask me. It's their fired head coach is now the Steelers' offensive coordinator. The Steelers are a 3-point underdog to a team that just fired its coach, to a team that hasn't had a winning record since like 2017, and to a team that last I checked is called the Atlanta Falcons. They're a 3-point underdog, Paul.
Yeah.
What's your first reaction generally going into this game?
I mean, they fired their coach, but they went out and spent $100 million on a quarterback. They added a number of players. They went out and got what's the defensive player they just got
Justin
maybe last
Simmons.
Week from last week they just got from the Patriots, their best player.
Judon. Yeah.
Yeah, Judon. I'm just saying, you look at what they've done. They're not the same team.
Are they a better team than the Steelers? Do they have a better roster? They might.
If Kirk Cousins is good, I think they're better than the Steelers. I don't know what they're going to get from Kirk Cousins though. That's the big wild card.
Him and Russell Wilson.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, why don't we do a six-pack regarding all of this? Falcons, we have Mike Tomlin's news conference at noon today. We have Shelty, the Pirates, coming off a big win. We have Crowley's West Virginia team peeing, well, all over themselves. We have everything. Limits, unfortunately, is on the phone this early in the show. Can you do a six-pack back there? Oh, wow. How about that, Paul? You're in a good mood today. I can sense it, and I don't mean to bum you out. But the first item on our list is that ACC teams, this is according to Adam Crowley, ACC teams who are not suing the league are 15-2 so far. ACC teams that are suing the league are 0-3, including your Florida State Seminoles. What is happening? They're 0-2. They lost to Boston College.
They have a bad quarterback, and that's what happens. When you have a bad quarterback, you can't win.
Are you angry?
Number one. Well, I know because I made my peace with it when they decided to bring him in. I mean, you know, we saw how he was bad in Clemson. He was bad at Oregon State. Why did Florida State staff think that he would be good here? But that being said, okay, the whole suing the ACC thing is irrelevant. And I'm going to – now you've opened up a wound, okay? And I'm going to speak to ACC fans of every other team not named Pitt, not named Florida State and Clemson, okay? If you are one of these ACC fans who's ripping Florida State and Clemson for suing the ACC, you're an idiot, okay? A short-sighted idiot. You should be mad at your own team for not suing the ACC as well. Because the bottom line is Florida State and Clemson are the only two teams who have the brains who understand that the media rights deal that you've signed through 2036, by the way, is terrible compared to what the other leagues are getting. And so you're not going to be able to keep up with the other leagues. You are relegating yourself to second class citizen in the world of big time football. That's reality. You're not going to be able to compete. And in 2 years from now, okay, 2 years from now, when all these other media rights deals kick in, guess what? You're going to be wondering why your teams are being left behind. Florida State and Clemson aren't suing because the league's not competitive enough. They're suing because the leadership of the league and many of you school presidents were too stupid to see how the market was going to change and therefore just locked into a deal. Once again, bad government 101, locked into a deal because you think it was going to save the viability of your league. Meanwhile, it's the deal that is going to bring your league down and make it blow up. So you shouldn't be mad at Florida State and Clemson. You shouldn't be mad at the two schools that actually understand economics, who actually understand the world of college football.
Hold on a second here. First of all, I'm glad that those teams are 0-3. Secondly, you wrote on May 16th, 2023, that the ACC schools that were thinking about challenging the grant of rights, the land of grant, whatever the hell it is.
The grant of rights.
We're out of their minds. You said Florida State hasn't been relevant in football since Jameis Winston. Virginia Tech, not relevant. North Carolina, Virginia, NC State.
Hold on. What was my point?
That they've all lost their minds, that they have no right to do this because none of them are relevant anymore except Clemson.
Well, guess what? The part of that is because to get out of the grant of rights, it was going to cost all of these schools like $400 million.
Okay.
Yes.
So you've changed your mind
Absolutely.
Since then. All right.
Absolutely. Got you, guy. Absolutely. Now what you got? Huh? I just took your whole thing, took it in the air, shot it out of the sky. How about that?
By saying you've changed your mind?
I changed because you were trying to play gotcha with me. The bottom line is, guess what?
No, because my original point was...
Who has won the ACC the last 10 years? Besides Florida State and Clemson, how many of these other teams have won the ACC? One.
Yeah.
And they needed a 29-year-old quarterback and the rest of the league to stink and a 30-year-old offensive line to do it.
Okay, so you've changed your mind. That's simple.
I don't know that I've changed my mind.
You said they're all out of their minds for wanting to challenge this deal.
Because it was going to be $400 million. The bottom line is, if all 15 of them decided to do it, guess what? They could get out of it.
So all 15 of them should have done it.
They should.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I haven't changed my mind. The information has changed.
Meaning what? The money?
The money for the other team, for the other conferences has changed. Completely.
Right. But if you thought they were out of their mind for suing, now you don't because the money's changed.
I think all of them should sue. Every one of them.
Okay.
Every single school in the ACC should be joining Clemson and Florida State.
Remember when I said Paul was in a good mood and we were going to ruin that?
Of course.
We're 15 minutes in. It's going very well.
My point with that is the whole thing is this, you know, when the numbers change, yes. But more importantly, the biggest thing about that was the more I've read about this grant of rights and why it came about, and the more that I've seen it, the more that it's even dumber now than it was a year ago.
Okay.
So, and the other
I'm glad
part of it,
to see that
it,
I'm glad to see that the teams that sued were 0-3.
Why?
Because I agreed with your column at the time that who the hell is Virginia, for example, to go in and sue no matter what the money is.
Well, I mean,
where are they going?
Who's Northwestern and who's Vanderbilt? They're making millions and millions of dollars for doing nothing. That's the point. That's what you have in a conference.
Right. So the conference should act together instead of having rogue schools do it on their own and screwing over the others that they made a deal with.
You just made my point. They should all act together. They should all be joining Florida State and Clemson and trying to blow up this media rights deal.
And maybe they should have waited till the whole conference was of the same mind to do that.
What?
Instead of going rogue.
Well, they
Florida
saw,
State
but again, at the end of the day, North Carolina was, you know, when Florida State and Clemson, here's what's funny. When Florida State and Clemson were going out there, putting themselves out there and being the enemy and everything else, conference darling, North Carolina was going through back channels to try and get into the SEC and to try and get into the Big Ten and trying to get out of there. But of course, you know, North Carolina was doing the same thing because they understood. But they're North Carolina, so you know we can't lump them in because they didn't join the lawsuit. Well, they're idiots. They should join the lawsuit. Pitt, if you're Pitt, listen. You're always whining about Pitt fans are always whining about how you're going to be falling behind West Virginia and Cincinnati and all the schools in the Big 12. So that absolutely to me, you know, this whole thing of where, oh, well, they, you know, yes, you're right. But at the end of the day, when you can look now forward and see where all this is going and you have numbers that are astronomical being thrown around at all these other conferences, you're hamstringing yourself, period. So to me, if you're Florida State and Clemson, you got to get out of this because you have no chance of competing if you don't get out of this. It's going to cause, in fact, when they were talking about $130 million, you know, maybe a settlement to get out of the grant of rights, $130 million, and Florida State was saying, it's worth it. We'll pay that. That tells you how much money they're going to lose over the next 7 years or 8 years.
All right. What started out as a lighthearted shot at Florida State has turned into something much more than that. But we're going to move on.
Why are we moving on now?
Because we have other topics.
Why are we moving on?
Than Florida State football. There we go. Thank you, City Limits. Paul?
I'm getting concerned and scared back here.
Besides the feud that you and I suddenly have brewing, guess who else has a feud going on?
Who's that?
Two Andrews. Destin, otherwise known as Destiny's Child, and McCutcheon. Did you?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quarterback pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Did you hear about this?
What?
Last night, after McCutcheon hits the game-winning homer,
okay,
our friend Destiny's Child tweets out, Andrew McCutcheon has 18 home runs this season. That's his most since 2022 and his second most since 2018. Who's the first sub-tweeting it? Andrew McCutcheon, who tweets out, checks notes, I hit a few in 2021. Destiny's Child got it wrong. McCutcheon called him on it. What do we make of this?
Well, I didn't see this.
Is he feuding with everybody in that locker room now? Shelty, McCutcheon, everybody?
So he tweeted something back at him?
Yes, he did. And then Destiny's Child took ownership and said, shoot, I meant 2021. I can't even tweet a stat with the year correctly. So he undercut it with humor, which he does. He's a nice man, right?
He's a nice man. Yes.
Limits, what did you think of this feud?
You know,
so
I'm very curious to hear what Destiny's Child has to say about it later today, because we've made him this walking internet sensation and maybe meme at the same time.
Well, here's the thing about him that's beautiful is he's a walking paradox. He's the last person on earth that you would associate with Destiny's Child's music. And he's also the last person on earth who would have feuds with anybody in a clubhouse. Right, Paul?
So he got the year wrong, basically, is what we're talking about.
Yeah, but it wasn't a typo. And then McCutcheon chimed in. Checks notes, I hit a few in 2021. So yes, less than a feud, but noteworthy nonetheless.
Oh, I see. Okay. So he hit 27.
Yes, he did.
He hit 27 in 2021, 17. He is 18. So really, 2018, okay. He did hit a few in 2021.
Yes, he did. Fred Iridi checks in. Please stop sharing your coffee with Paul. That was traumatic for, I think, City Limits and I when Paul freaked out.
And
there,
when Paul stood up, I thought that he was very upset.
He called me gotcha guy.
Gotcha guy. That's really, that's it. Yeah.
Were you scared for a moment?
No.
Gotcha, Joey.
Everybody's getting me these days.
I was a little concerned, yeah.
I was concerned. Well, first he stood up.
Who's playing? Yes.
What?
There you have it.
Next, let's move on to the Steelers. Russell Wilson named a captain. I was mentioning to Crowley and Mark Cabali as I came in this morning that the Steelers may set the NFL record most consecutive years with offensive captains who are riding the bench by the end of the year, Paul. 2 years ago, Pickett was their offensive captain.
Yes.
Or no, Trubisky, benched. Last year, Pickett, benched. Will Russell Wilson follow suit, or will he still be the quarterback late in the year?
I think if he's healthy, he'll be the quarterback. I mean, his health, I mean, you know, that's obviously always going to be a question, but I think yes. I think he is. Absolutely. And so, you know, I feel like it's you know, this is going to be his team. Whether or not he makes it to the finish line will depend on his health and not the way he plays, because I think he'll play well enough to keep his job all year.
I tend to think that too, but not with a ton of confidence, as I have mentioned many times. Next, Limits. And by the way, what happened to Najee as an offensive captain? 2 years ago, he was captain with Trubisky. Last year, no longer captain. Do you believe that the players actually vote on this, or that Tomlin makes the call?
Well,
and why isn't Najee a captain anymore?
I think players might vote on it, but I bet you Tomlin puts his finger on the scales a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. And that's why it's interesting that, I mean, how could a guy go from being a captain at that age, Najee, to all of a sudden he's not one last year or ever more, it would appear.
Right. That's to me, I think, you know, the biggest thing with him is he's one of your most veteran players on offense. If you think about it, even though he's going into year four?
Yeah. Maybe his last year. Maybe that's the problem. Can you clip Limits? Can you clip Paul yelling,
Paul yelling,
gotcha guy?
Should that be our social video today, gotcha guy?
That could be my new nickname.
All right, good.
I like that one. That, along with Tony, I'm being attacked from all corners here. Next, give us one. All right, DK on Pittsburgh Sports had a column the other day saying that Derek Shelton, unless things change in September, is done. There's many facets to this story that I find interesting. But he said he's done. Unless something significant happens in September, to which I say, what? Like, if they think he's done now, what would happen in September? A bunch of wins? And aren't they then maybe at cross purposes with their mission in September? Because it should be about playing young guys. So does he have to have a winning record in September? Would that cause him to manage the team differently? I don't know, man. But DK reports, and he says he's not guessing, that unless something dramatic happens in September, Shelty's done. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, I would think that what he's talking about is that this team doesn't go completely into the tank. In other words, there's some evidence that he didn't, quote unquote, lose the locker room. I would think that's really, you know what I mean? Like, I think that if they go into the tank and they go, you know, I don't know, 5-25 or whatever, then you say to yourself, okay, he completely lost the locker room, was not able to get it back, was not able to get these guys to buy into playing hard all the way to the end. Perhaps.
I just don't know how you measure that. I don't know how you measure it in wins. I don't know how you measure it in effort. And if you're management here and you think that you want to move on, I don't know what how September would change your
mind
in any way, shape, or form.
I think they want him to be able to show that he can, you know, keep the locker room together and keep these guys playing hard. I don't know.
I don't think they are playing especially hard at times. Like Wehner said a couple weeks ago, that's part of what has led to the demise here. Here's the other thing, Paul, is he says that the fate will be decided by Bob Nutting and Travis Williams. Well, I didn't know up till this point exactly what Travis Williams does. Well, he's going to help make this call?
Isn't he Frank Coonley, essentially? Wasn't that what Frank?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wasn't Frank Coonley in on those decisions?
Pretty much, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. Although we never hear from him. And you're right, I don't really know what he does. He will.
And what about Charrington, then? The whole thing just has me racking my brain here for what's going to happen with the Pirates. But that was the news from this column, and I'll read it verbatim. Dayon says, based on conversations I've had while here this weekend, which was Cleveland, correct?
Yes.
Derek Shelton and his coaching staff need to get it together over the final month or they're as good as gone. I'm not guessing at that. Repeat, I'm not guessing at that. What's your reaction to that, Limits? You and Paul both believe he's going to be here, and nothing would surprise me with Bob Nutting. Are you still of that belief?
My belief is starting to shift and shift by the day. I'm closer to 50% now, and I was at 30 about a week ago. Just the way that the season is continuing to go, and I know last night's win, does that help in the long run of it, of coming back and winning a game and looking better on the record? Who knows, but it doesn't seem to me like this is a team that's fully engaged in closing out the season on a positive note.
Paul, well, have you budged at all, or are you still adamant that he will return?
I still kind of feel the same. I think that they're going to just sort of do enough. And Bob Nutting at the end of the day is basically going to say, you know what, we're going to give Shelton and Charrington one more year to try and figure this out. I mean, I don't know the answer to this, but has Nutting ever fired a manager in a year when he didn't fire the general manager? I know that he fired Hurdle and Huntington together. When did he fire Littlefield? Did he fire Littlefield and whoever the hell the manager was before?
He didn't even fire Huntington and Hurdle together. Hurdle was fired the last day of the season. Huntington wasn't for like another 3 weeks.
Yeah, but it's the same season. They fired
more or less.
Right.
Yeah.
Not the same day. I thought you meant like the same time period.
But he has.
The same year. The same season. They basically the same
season.
Yeah,
it was a package deal. A package firing.
So that's what
and
I mean.
And he ate a lot of money because he got rid of Coonley too.
That's my thing because.
So he has proven he'll do it.
Right. I don't think that he won't do it. I just don't know that if he's going. I don't know that he's going to do it. The same, you know, I don't know that he's going to do it and not do Charrington, which I think that would be really unfair, to be honest.
If he did one without the other.
If he did one without the other. I think actually he did. Now that I'm looking at this, Dave Littlefield was fired when he was the general manager. He got fired, I think, 2 years before John Russell.
I mean, whatever. I forgot about John Russell for a minute there. All right. Well, let's continue this. What's become maybe a 12-pack here. Yes, Limits? And we have Shelty at 11. Is that confirmed?
Shelty now confirmed at 11. The Tomlin press conference at noon. And right in between that is... 11:40, Destiny's Child for a 10-minute roundtable.
Littlefield actually got fired the same year Tracy got fired.
Did he?
Yes. Then they hired Russell. Then Huntington hired Russell. And then Huntington fired Russell and hired Hurdle. So Russell is the one guy in the Nutting era that actually got fired when the general manager did not get fired.
It's interesting to me that when it comes to firing Shelton, if that happens, that Travis Williams has more of a say than Charrington. In fact, Williams has a say over Charrington's future. He's his boss.
That's the big thing. We all have bosses, and it's pretty clear they have. A hierarchy there. I mean, I think the first thing you got to ask is, what does Travis Williams do? Have no. What does he think of Charrington?
Yeah,
we might be asking the wrong questions.
I know. For all we know, he is heavily influencing Bob Nutting. Who would have thought after all this that Travis Williams is the key to these guys' futures? He can't like what he's seeing, can he?
Well, again, and the other part of it is he's the business guy. He's in charge of the business operations. So if you think about that, he can't like what ticket sales are going to look like in September.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.